private security thugs, all to defend a corporation from Texas. Some of the people have come as far as Ohio and Wisconsin, and what self-respecting Packers fan would side with a corporate franchise based in Dallas. Why is it that armed white militia members from out of state and uninvited are acquitted in Oregon, but invited unarmed Native people are being criminalized and assaulted in North Dakota? And Winona Duke et al. Writes, the trend of state security forces being turned into private corporate security is hardly unique to North Dakota. And the article goes on for many, many paragraphs. But it's time for me to wrap this up and say that you have been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And I hope that you will stay tuned because Per Fogring is coming up. And he will have quite an interesting show. And the morning broadcast will continue here on KBOO Portland 90.7 in Cascadia, other frequencies in the area, and via KBOO.fm, and in that manner to all the ships at sea.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire, and we are contacting our guest right now. Before we go on with our guest, I have an announcement. This afternoon, the city commissioners will be considering the open and accountable elections reform. That's this afternoon. The hearing will be at 2:30 p.m. at City Hall. That's 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue. So I don't know if they're taking testimony or not, but that's supposed to be on the agenda. Of course, there is a ballot measure dealing with election reform, campaign reform. So that's something that people might want to go to. 2:30 p.m. this afternoon at City Hall down there on Southwest 4th Avenue. So one thing we're going to talk about is the election to this year's horrible presidential election. Our guest is Robert Parry, who is the editor, a longtime journalist, and he's the editor and publisher of Consortium News, which is a really very valuable resource. I would look it up, Consortium News. That's CONSORTIUM News. And it has lots of articles by Robert Perry and also other writers. And they sort of, they're kind of an antidote to the prevailing Washington consensus, which seems to be everywhere these days. It's a good source, and you can get on their mailing list, and then they'll notify you every time there's a new article out. Gee whiz, we're trying to get it. Anyway, one thing we're going to talk about is a big flap right now over Hillary Clinton's emails. And FBI Director James Comey is getting a lot of criticism because the way I understand it is that he at one time, a few weeks ago, said that he was investigating these missing emails or the emails that Hillary Clinton had on a private server or whatever. And he kind of cleared her, said that she made a dreadful mistake by doing it that way, but that there was nothing that she could be prosecuted for. But then, just I guess about a week ago, a bunch of emails turned up, of all places, on the laptop of Anthony Weiner, the disgraced former congressman who was also the husband of Hillary Clinton's chief assistant. And so these emails turned up, and he announced it that, yes, he said that, well, there are more emails, and we're going to have to look into, apparently, something like 650,000 emails. That's an awful lot. And but they may be duplicates of the same ones that he had investigated before. We don't know. But he's been under a lot of criticism for revealing this when he had, before that, he had kind of, quote, cleared Hillary Clinton, but now he's sort of putting her back on the hook again. And one question I have is James Comey to be blamed for this? Is it his fault that these turned up? What were his options? What should he have done if not revealed them? Should he have just sort of sat on them? Then what? If it turned up that these emails had existed, that he might have been criticized for a cover-up. So I don't know. That's one thing. If we do get hold of Robert Perry, I would like to ask him. One interesting thing about this whole email thing is that some of the emails themselves put the Democrats in a bad light. You know, they sort of deal with how the mainline, the Democratic establishment, had acted to play dirty tricks on Bernie Sanders, you know. And to favor Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. One particular item that just was talked about recently is that Donna Brazile, who at that time was a CNN commentator or something, that she had passed on before a debate, she had passed on some of the questions to Hillary Clinton, and this made kind of forced her to resign from CNN. But so these emails revealed a lot of kind of sleazy stuff, and this has been going on for quite a while, is that the Democrats have blamed the messenger for revealing them, and also made the accusation that these leaks were passed on, they were hacked by the Russians, and they were passed on to WikiLeaks sort of with the purpose of damaging the Clinton campaign, because according to this bit of Washington consensus, the Russians, namely Putin, favors Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, and they are trying to get him elected. They are being accused of interfering with U.S. elections. So I think so. If we can't get our guests, we can always take calls. So if anybody wants to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. If you have any questions or commentary about this. So anyway, Putin is being blamed. Joan is on the line. Morning, Joan.
Yeah, hi. The email thing over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious, considering the timing, that this whole thing is a kind of scurvy plot to discredit Hillary Clinton. And where could this possibly be emanating from? The person whose name I will not mention. And it seems like the whole thing is just, you know, isn't it kind of obvious? And I think Hillary's biggest mistake is a mistake that a lot of people make, is you don't put anything that should be confidential or private or whatever into an email. Just don't do that.
Well, apparently
email is not secure. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, and she did make a mistake and whatever. But this whole business right now is obviously just something to discredit her and throw the election. And I don't see why people should fall for it.
Well, there
if
is
the anything in it, it should be in, you know, looked at. But suddenly, these could even be repeats of the other emails. And who is
that's
this
true?
Guy
that's true.
Who started in the first place? Is he a trustworthy person who we can all respect? So, I would just dump the whole thing in the trash can and go and vote, folks.
Well,
that's my comment.
Well, of course, everyone should go and vote. But the question is, I think there is a content of the emails which looks like, from what I've seen, it looks like the Democratic National Committee clearly favored Clinton over Bernie Sanders, and they played a few dirty tricks on Bernie Sanders, who a lot of people think he would have been a stronger candidate against Donald Trump.
I don't know. That could be. There's nothing I can say about that. But at the moment, we seem to have one candidate and one person who is mentally unfit to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
So people can do that with that what they will. But I certainly wouldn't let something like this put Mr. You-Know-Who in the White House, Mr. Sex Offender and whatever else he happens to be. And that's all I've got to say on the matter.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that it's too quick to blame Putin for this. If he's going to discredit, looks like our own politicians are discrediting the campaign pretty much on their own, doing very well at that. Do we have another caller?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for your show.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I just love the way you go into these subjects calmly, and we can go in with you. And,
well, I could shriek and scream if you
Well, and you know, you also illuminate things very well, and it's not boring, but it's nice and calm. I just wanted to say something, and I am a daughter of a naval veteran, and my ex-husband was a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the country has great potential for even worse conflict at this time than what we've seen in our lives, for certain. Even this is more precarious even than the 60s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would like to say is, number one, let's look at World War II, and I'll be fast. Okay, the Russians met up with the Nazis. 23 million died because of Hitler. Hillary pronounced Hitler as bad, or Hillary pronounced Putin as bad as Hitler.
That's
a bad way to start with something.
That's very insulting, you know.
Yes, that's very inflammatory. Number two, when she was Secretary of State with the Obama administration, our government assisted in putting neo-Nazis in the Ukraine, toppling a democratically elected government and
That's
putting
right.
Nazis in right next to Putin and the Russians. And then now she's doing this routine about they're messing around with our election process.
Oh, that's something. Yes,
yeah.
I'm going to get on to that in a minute, because.
But then on top of it, when these email things came up a while ago, the FBI director looked like, you know, there really is a lot here, and a lot of people who are in the middle felt like, you know, there really is a lot in there. It's very strange. She put a lot of stuff on her own private server. The linkages between this administration into ISIS is very disturbing. Okay, so we've got all of that. It's a mess, okay? She is a threat for World War III. Trump is a threat for a civil war. And so we, Americans, have got to do what these supposed leaders are not doing, and we have got to lead and stand together and show that we are one people, and we won't be bulldozed one way or the other. Might not vote at all in this presidency section of the election. I don't know. Maybe we should all stand together and call for new candidates. Maybe it's too late for that.
Hey, you know, when I was interviewing Ralph Nader a while ago, one of the things we talked about was a none of the above option. Apparently they have this in Nevada. They've had it for a few years now. And like, so when you have this, you know, the candidates, if you check off none of the above, and if that option wins, then those candidates kind of step aside and they got to kind of redo that. They have to redo that that particular election. So I think we got another caller lined up here. So thanks for your comments. So somebody else is on the line. Good morning.
Yes. As far as meddling with elections in other countries, you won't find it in the MSM, and you didn't find much of it in the so-called progressive media either when the accusations were being leveled that the U.S. was meddling in the last Russian election, U.S. operatives, that's intelligence operatives, by, what were they calling that, the White Revolution? one of these color revolutions.
Oh, Rose Revolution or the Yellow Revolution or I don't know.
Yeah, these are popping up all over. The Iranian election, it was the Green Revolution, I believe.
Right.
And, of course, all of these color revolutions, people have done a lot of research about that. You could, if you get your guest, I believe Perry has looked into this. The guy you talked to last week, Engdahl, has quite an extensive expose on color revolutions. Webster Tarpley has done that too. If you ever get him on, he'll go in depth on.
Well, very interesting about these U.S. interfering in other elections. A lot of that is done by the National Endowment for Democracy.
Correct.
And recently, the head of that is a guy named Carl Gershman, a longtime neocon. And talk about interfering in another country's politics, he called for Putin to be overthrown. Now, whatever else Putin may have done to the U.S., he hasn't called for the overthrow of our elected government. But Carl Gershman, who is the head of the National Endowment for Democracy, has done that. He put it in writing, wrote an article about it. He thinks Putin ought to be overthrown.
Yeah, well, that's quite a inflammatory, provocative thing to say. And if one goes back and looks at all this stuff in the Middle East, we find Hillary, he died in Libya, and we know of her involvement in instigating Obama to get involved in that. How much he needed, I don't know, but joining up with the Troika, Sarkozy, and Cameron to do that wasn't very difficult for him to do. And unfortunately, if Putin had been the one making the decision for the Russians at that time, I don't believe they'd have gotten the no-fly zone. She's calling for one right up to now, in fact, still calling for the no-fly zone in Syria. We all know what that means. They take out all of the defenses, and it's essentially a declaration of war.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's animosity there, you know, she's doing nothing to, calm things down at all. So I think that if this continues, these accusations of meddling with elections, someone should definitely try to push it into the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
How much the Western intelligence has been involved in messing with elections in other places.
That's a good
Absolutely.
Point. Okay, we got another caller on the line, so okay. Thanks for making that point. Okay, I think Susan is on the line. Morning.
Hi. I just wanted to, in thinking about elections being interfered with by other countries, what about Israel's influence on our elections?
Oh, that's a good one, sure. Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff there, yes. Didn't Netanyahu come to the U.S.? And, I guess he addressed Congress, which is very unusual for a foreign head of state. I guess a lot of bad blood between Obama and Netanyahu, and there's bad blood between Hillary Clinton and Putin, which makes me wonder if Clinton does get elected, which I think will happen, how is she going to deal with Putin after all the really kind of uncalled for things she said about him, you know?
Oh, I know. It's the scariest thing.
You know, you may say Putin's autocratic. I don't know about that, but he's certainly not another Hitler. But there's so many new Hitler. You know, it should be a list of all the foreign heads of state we didn't like who we called another Hitler, like Saddam Hussein and Bashar Assad and Gaddafi and I don't know who else, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Well, you know, as far as the did the Russians hack Hillary Clinton's emails and pass them on? There are Mother Jones. They had an article by David Korn saying yes, that the Russians have done this. And they call it an exchange of information of mutual benefit. And they say that Russia has been assisting Donald Trump for at least 5 years. The aim, endorsed by Putin, has been to encourage splits and divisions in the Western alliance. Well, this is kind of amazing to me. Now, this is Mother Jones writing this, David Korn. And, 5 years ago, who was Donald Trump? I mean, this is one thing I wonder about. If the Kremlin is trying to dabble in U.S. politics, why would they pick on Donald Trump, or have they done the same with other political figures besides him? We don't know about that. But then on the other hand, the New York Times has an article that there is no conclusive link between Donald Trump and the Kremlin. So you have a lot of disagreement as to, you know, who really did hack the emails and who revealed them and all that. There are credible reports that it's been done by Washington insiders from one side or another. And it's very interesting that, according to Mother Jones, the Russian intelligence, they used the word compromised. I guess they had compromising information on Trump and that they could possibly blackmail him, which makes you wonder exactly what that is, because Trump himself has revealed so much stuff that makes him look really sleazy and shady. What more is there to reveal? But at the same time, Mother Jones said that the Kremlin has a dossier on Hillary Clinton. And they don't say so, but this raises the question, well, do they have damaging information on her that they could use to blackmail her if whenever they feel like it? Well, we don't know. But, I mean, it's You hear a lot of accusations that I think the Russians get blamed for all kinds of things, and it definitely, to me, as far as I can tell, it is certainly not proven that the Russians hacked these emails and revealed them to the public. Maybe they did, but it has not been proven. But in all the uproar, what's being kind of overlooked is the content of the emails. And it shows that Bernie Sanders got messed over by the Democratic National Committee. They clearly preferred Hillary Clinton, and now they've got her. And the amazing thing about this campaign, is that she's not a very strong candidate against Donald Trump is sort of the archetype of the creepy clown, you know, and you think that any decent candidate would do a lot better than Hillary Clinton. But anyway, somebody is on the line. Barry, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Cable is talking about Democrat and Republican all the time. Why is it people aren't considering any of the third-party candidates as Jill Stein or Gary Johnson?
Oh, sure. Good question. Well,
But why and how is it that our news media is duping people into a kind of a corner? This is my question to you to discuss it.
Well, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, yes, definitely the third-party or fourth-party candidates have been not totally ignored. In fact, I think OPB is going to interview Gary Johnson at noon on the Think Out Loud show. So they have been getting some coverage, and apparently the Libertarian Party has been polling at about 10% of the electorate, which would mean that if that turns out to be true, that they will get they qualify for kind of federal funding or recognition or whatever. And the Green Party, they are hoping that if they get the threshold is 5%, that they can reach that and they also qualify.
Is Jill Stein going to be getting in there also?
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I do have another caller waiting, but thanks for that point.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Good morning. You're on the line. Hello? Susanna, I believe?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're on the air.
I wanted to comment on Russia hacking our emails. We hacked Germany's emails.
That's right.
Christoph Merkel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's what everybody does.
Mm-hmm. Especially the U.S.
to see what other countries are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's Hillary, who's supporting so many things that are, and NATO, and everything that Russia would want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
So is it anything untold what Russia is doing? I think the United States is doing it madly. I think China's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think they're all doing it. I think we're doing a little bit more, maybe. We have hacked the emails of former Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff, and according to Pepe Escobar, the information that we got out of hacking her was used by her opponents to impeach her and throw her out of office.
Yes, our hands are pretty dirty.
They sure are, yes.
So, you know, it's just, to me, it's just all more election drama on all sides, and to be realistic about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of... I mean, both candidates very upset me very much.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I'm voting for Jill Stein. I mean, we do have a candidate that we can vote for that gives a very definite message, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, thank you very much for that call. I think I got to wrap up the show right now.
Well, thank you.
I just like to close with one more observation is that... You know, the excuse that we give for are interfering with other countries is that we are spreading democracy. You know, we have a brand of democracy that the world needs. And it just seems to me that when you see our election, the rest of the world must be really laughing at us. I mean, the kind of the example we are setting is something that no other country should be asked to follow. But anyway, stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station. Coming up next is Air Cascadia.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is just about 10 o'clock now in the morning. At 11 is Between the Covers. David Naiman speaks with essayist Elliot Weinberger about his new collection of The Ghost of Birds, followed by at 11:30 Black Book Talk tackles Seedlings, a time travel tale that takes place on the Oregon coast. At 10:15, following Air Cascadia, is Flashpoints. And this morning, David Bernstein is having a special election coverage with an extensive conversation with Greg Palast. And coming up next now is Air Cascadia with Chris Andre.